The next sutta is a bit more extensive, but it's similarly continuing with that that theme of the interplay between these hindrances and the these factors of enlightenment, how they are to be attended to. Okay, at Savati. This is Sanyutta 46 and Bojanga Sanyutta and Sutta number 55. At Savati. Then the Brahman Sangarava approached the Blessed One and exchanged greetings with him. When they had concluded their greetings and cordial talk, he sat down to one side and said to the Blessed One, Master Gotama, what is the cause and reason why sometimes even those hymns that have been recited over a long period do not recur to the mind, let alone those that have not been recited? What is the cause and reason why sometimes those hymns that have not been recited over a long period recur to the mind, let alone those that have been recited? Or in our parts, why is it sometimes we can remember the chanting and sometimes we can't? Which that happened when I was in Thailand, and chanting the Parittas twice on the, like, at Yom Da. I was getting to the end of my time, and I think it was just my mind was just so looking forward to getting on the plane and getting out of him, but doing the Paritta chanting and then chanting along and then realizing I didn't have no idea where I was. Even though I, you know, obviously know the chanting, but it's one thing to know the chanting, it's the other to, when the hindrances are clouding the mind, then you may as well not know it because you can't remember it. Okay, anyway. Brahman, when one dwells with a mind obsessed by sensual lust, overwhelmed by sensual lust, and one does not understand as it really is the escape from arisen sensual lust, on that occasion, one neither knows nor sees that as it really is one's own good or the good of others or the good of both. Then even those hymns that have been recited over a long period do not recur to the mind, let alone those that have not been recited. Suppose, Brahman, there is a bowl of water mixed with lac, turmeric, blue dye, or crimson dye. If a man with good sight were to examine his own facial reflection in it, he would neither know nor see it as it really is. So too, Brahman, when one dwells with a mind obsessed by sensual lust, on that occasion even those hymns that have been recited over a long period do not recur to the mind, let alone those that have not been recited. Again, Brahman, when one dwells with a mind obsessed by ill will, overwhelmed by ill will, and one does not understand as it really is the escape from arisen ill will, on that occasion one neither knows nor sees as it really is one's own good, or the good of others, or the good of both. Then even those hymns that have been recited over a long period do not recur to the mind, let alone those that have not been recited. Suppose, Brahman, there is a bowl of water being heated over a fire, bubbling and boiling. If a man with good sight were to examine his own facial reflection in it, he would neither know nor see it as it really is. So too, Brahman, when one dwells with a mind obsessed by ill will, on that occasion even those hymns that have been recited over a long period do not recur to the mind, let alone those that have not been recited. Again, Brahman, when one dwells with a mind obsessed by sloth and torpor, overwhelmed by sloth and torpor, and one does not understand as it really is the escape from arisen sloth and torpor, on that occasion one neither knows nor sees as it really is one's own good or the good of others or the good of both. Then even those hymns that have been recited over a long period do not recur to the mind, let alone those that have not been recited. Suppose, Brahman, there is a bowl of water covered over with water plants and algae. If a man with good sight were to examine his own facial reflection in it, he would neither know nor see it as it really is. So too, Brahman, when one dwells with a mind obsessed by sloth and torpor, although on that occasion, even those hymns that have been recited over a long period do not recur to the mind, let alone those that have not been recited. Again, Brahman, when one dwells with a mind obsessed by restlessness and remorse, overwhelmed by restlessness and remorse, and one does not understand as it really is the escape from arisen restlessness and remorse, on that occasion, one neither knows nor sees as it really is one's own good or the good of others or the good of both. Then even those hymns that have been recited over a long period do not recur to the mind, let alone those that have not been recited. Suppose, Brahman, there is a bowl of water stirred by the wind, rippling, swirling, churned into wavelets. If a man with good sight were to examine his own facial reflection in it, he would neither know nor see it as it really is. So too, Brahman, when one dwells with a mind obsessed by restlessness and remorse, on that occasion, even those hymns that have been recited over a long period do not recur to the mind, let alone those that have not been recited. Again, Brahman, when one dwells with a mind obsessed by doubt, overwhelmed by doubt, and one does not understand as it really is the escape from arisen doubt, on that occasion one neither knows nor sees as it really is one's own good or the good of others or the good of both. Then even those hymns that have been recited over a long period do not recur to the mind, let alone those that have not been recited. Suppose, Brahman, there is a bowl of water that is turbid, unsettled, muddy, placed in the dark. If a man with good sight were to examine his own facial reflection in it, he would neither know nor see it as it really is. So too, Brahman, when one dwells with a mind obsessed by doubt, on that occasion, even those hymns that have been recited over a long period do not recur to the mind, let alone those that have not been recited. This, Brahman, is the cause and reason why even those hymns that have been recited over a long period do not recur to the mind, let alone those that have not been recited. Brahman, when one dwells with a mind that is not obsessed by sensual lust, not overwhelmed by sensual lust, and one understands as it really is the escape from arisen sensual lust, on that occasion one knows and sees as it really is one's own good and the good of others and the good of both. Then even those hymns that have not been recited over a long period of time recur to the mind, let alone those that have been recited. Suppose, Brahman, there is a bowl of water not mixed with lac, turmeric, blue dye, or crimson dye. If a man with good sight were to examine his own facial reflection in it, he would know and see it as it really is. So too, Brahman, when one dwells with a mind that is not obsessed by sensual lust, on that occasion, even those hymns that have not been recited over a long period recur to the mind, let alone those that have been recited. So the Buddha goes through those images with ill will, so that a bowl of water that has not been heated, it's not bubbling, not boiling, and one would be able to see one's facial reflection, and then sloth and torpor. There's a bowl of water that is not covered over with water plants and algae. With restlessness and remorse, as a bowl of water that is not stirred by wind, without ripples, without swirls, not churned into wavelets, so that one with good sight would be able to examine one's own facial reflection. With doubt, as the mind is, one dwells with a mind that is not obsessed by doubt. Suppose, Brahman, there is a bowl of water that is clear, serene, limpid, set out in the light. If a man with good sight were to examine his own facial reflection in it, he would know and see it as it really is. So too, Brahman, when one dwells with a mind that is not obsessed by doubt, on that occasion, even those hymns that have not been recited over a long period recur to the mind, let alone those that have been recited. This Brahman is the cause and reason why even those hymns that have not been recited over a long period recur to the mind, let alone those that have been recited. These seven factors of enlightenment, Brahman, are non-obstructions, non-hindrances, non-corruptions of the mind. When developed and cultivated, they lead to the realization of the fruit of true knowledge and liberation. What seven? The enlightenment factor of mindfulness is a non-obstruction. The enlightenment factor of investigation of dhammas is a non-obstruction. The enlightenment factor of energy is a non-obstruction. The enlightenment factor of joy is a non-obstruction. The enlightenment factor of tranquility is a non-obstruction. The enlightenment factor of concentration is a non-obstruction. The enlightenment factor of equanimity is a non-obstruction. These seven factors of enlightenment are non-obstructions, non-hindrances, non-corruptions of the mind. When developed and cultivated, they lead to the realization of the fruit of true knowledge and liberation. When this was said, the Brahman Sangharava said to the Blessed One, "Magnificent Master Gotama, magnificent. From today, let Master Gotama remember me as a lay follower who has gone for refuge for life." So that's those are images, of course, that are quite well known, but it's always good to go over some of these So especially sometimes seeing the context of where the, say, the suttas, where the images come from, the similes, and seeing the because oftentimes we're familiar with the simile, but we forget the actual sutta that it comes in, and good to see that oftentimes sometimes the context as well of seeing the just seeing that. Again, where the sutta is not with these vivid images of the hindrances, is not a sutta solely about the hindrances, but it's the hindrances and the seven factors of enlightenment working together, so that we're learning how to both support and encourage one's practice by being able to relinquish those five hindrances, but then also the bringing into being the arising of these factors of enlightenment.